If you're among the millions struggling with peripheral neuropathy, I ask you to listen up. Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline Broadcast. As you heard me say, peripheral neuropathy, I've struggled with it. It's annoying. And if untreated, it can really cause some health problems. Now, the bottom line is I reached out to Innovative Wellness, Christy and Andrew Steiger in particular, at InnovativeWellness.Center of Clive, Iowa. They're now gaining clients from all over the Midwest because shockwave therapy, which they prescribed for me, and I did it in a consistent fashion, I got appreciable, verifiable results. Life is better. InnovativeWellness.Center. Peripheral neuropathy is very annoying and can be very, very serious if left untreated. Check it out. InnovativeWellness.Center. Christy Steiger, Andrew Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center.
It's We'll See About That with World Series MVP Ron Sabe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to We'll See About That. Ron Say here with Mike Gary. And Mike, I hope that you've been, along with all of our listening and viewing audience, been enjoying the Paris Olympics. They've been absolutely spectacular, I think, up to this point.
I really agree. I mean, you know, peeling the curtain back a little bit, we taped this a little bit early, and you and I just actually watched a fantastic game between Team USA and Serbia, which Team USA barely eked out.
Yeah, they sure did. They needed that. And you know what? The first week of the Olympics was kind of ho-hum for the United States in terms of medal collecting, if you want to call it that. The second week has been an absolute bonanza. And we're going to talk more about that next week when we do the Olympic wrap-up. But big things coming from the U.S., incredible stories to tell. Want to recap that more next week. But it looks like the Chicago White Sox have snapped their losing streak at 21. They ended up losing again right after that. Fortunately, they became the Oakland A's of last year. The unbelievable. They fired their manager now. God, I can't even imagine. You know, we spoke about that last week, you know, what it's like to be in the clubhouse when things are in that kind of chaos and turmoil.
Everything makes you irritable, right? Oh, you're just irritable all the time.
Yeah, you're ready to fight when you walk through the door. You know, it's just a horrible atmosphere to be in, and I certainly hope they get their problems straightened away. We make fun of it a little bit because it's in the news, but I certainly hope that
you generally feel bad for these guys.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you joke around because you're just saying it's kind of like one of those. Did you see what happened to these guys? And it's like I nowhere not want to be near that. You know, I've had my taste of it. I don't want to join that again. Looks like the Dodgers pitcher Bruzdar Gaderol, had his season opening experience end after eight pitches with a pulled hamstring. It looks like he's now out for the rest of the season as well. The nightmares of injuries for the Dodgers continue to mount.
Comes on the heels of another Clayton Kershaw setback as well.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and then you have Time Warner. Oh, man, what a bust this must be. Time Warner Discovery, TNT stock tanks after NBA deal. Loses $9 billion.
That's billion with a B, folks.
It is, and a big B. And finally, you know, Jim Harbaugh, after he leaves Michigan, gets stuck with punishments, but that's probably going to the university. Well, enough said there. Got out before the bullet hit, right? Okay, and we will be right back after this break with our special guest, Barry Weinberg. Welcome to Financial Coach's Corner with Brad Kreger. And Brad, last week you talked about investors' emotions and market valuations. What else would you like to add to that?
Yeah, hey, thanks, Ron. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. Hey, so let's just jump right into it and take a look at that last chart from last week, the cycle of investor emotions. What we talked about was how market valuations are at all-time highs, and essentially that can really have a significant negative impact on those who are entering retirement or nearing retirement or within a few years of having retired, that you really do have to be careful of how you invest your money. The chart that we're looking at shows maximum risk at the market highs and maximum opportunity when markets at their lows. that just basically is sharing buy low, sell high. What, unfortunately, most investors do the exact opposite. So let's pull up this other chart, promised versus reality. And I know this is going to be a little bit busy, but what it shows is there's a little line here that's nice and flat, and it just goes up from the left to right. It just goes up, and it's up at the top, and it's just a flat line. That represents a flat 7% average rate of return. And a lot of people want to model their portfolio performance using flat rates of return. Unfortunately, markets don't just go 7% a year. They do not return an average. They're up and they're down. And so the average might be 7%, but how it works is that squiggly line that's kind of around that straight line. Okay, so what does this chart tell us? That when you are charting your performance or planning your retirement, when you look at flat rates of return versus variable returns, you're going to get the green bar, the green mountain, yet your planning shows the red. And it's really hard to see, but the green shows 400 as the ending value. The red shows 800 as the ending value. So it's very possible that if you're not paying attention and you're using planning, which is using unrealistic numbers and really flat growth rates, you could end up with projecting twice as much money in retirement than you actually have. And so I just tell people, hey, you got to kind of think through what you're doing and use realistic numbers. All right. Hope that works for you.
Okay. There you have it, from Brad Kreger on Financial Coach's Corner. Thank you, Brad.
No problem.
They still call me the Penguin.
Okay, we've returned from the break, and we're back with We'll See About That with our special guest, Barry Weinberg. And Barry will be receiving a beautiful fruit gift basket courtesy of our friends at Melissa's Produce. Melissa's is the proud partner of We'll See About That. Be sure you'd use my VIP code RONSAY when checking out at melissas.com. It gives me great pleasure to bring about a person, Barry Weinberg, who I ran into back in 1987 when I was traded to the Oakland A's. And in between time, Barry is better known as a baseball trainer, an author I want to make sure that I get to this subject, Eating My Way Through Baseball. And was educated at Indiana University, where he received his bachelor's degree in physical education. He got his advanced training and certification in athletic training from Springfield College. And he has 40 years of experience being in the game. Barry, welcome to the show. And what's going on in your life today?
Well, thanks a lot. What a pleasure. You know, and, you know, you run across great teammates. And I say this even when I'm not talking to you, but Ron Fay was a great teammate. I enjoyed so much the guys, you know. I had Davey Lopes too, so think about it, you know.
Yes, you did.
I had Davey Lopes and Ron, you know, but these are legendary guys and great baseball people. And I think that's, you know, one of the points that I was talking about, that nowadays I don't know if we have the personalities in the game that we had. We had great think of the personalities, Ron, that you associated with. Well, yeah, Dusty, right?
Yes. And Reggie, you know, and you know, we had personalities. Sure, you betcha. And you ran into a bunch of characters on your way through the game too, boy. I'll tell you.
Well, my first year with the Yankees, you had Thurman Munson and you know, Chris Chambliss and Willie Randolph and Bucky Dent, and the best was Oscar Gamble and Mickey Rivers.
I mean, I played against Mickey in the minor leagues. I did a little bit with Oscar too. And you know, you had.
Do you remember a guy named Goose Gossett? Right?
Yes, I do. He's still my left side of my head hurts.
I know. I'm there. You know. So, but these are characters and these are personalities. And I think sometimes it's the way of life now and the social media and the access to, you know, to reproducing anything that happened within seconds, you know?
For sure. You had this. Did you have a background in sports before you decided to branch off and have expectations about being a trainer?
I played baseball at Springfield College for 4 years, and then I always teased I got 2 good grades in college. One was care and prevention of athletic injuries, and one was in first aid. So I better do something that. So I went and got my master's. I actually got my master's at Indiana. And got my master's degree in athletic training in Indiana, where the first year at Indiana, I was a grad assistant for football for Lee Corso.
Oh, okay.
And then
there you go.
Then when I came back after the holiday, I was a grad assistant for Bobby Knight.
Oh, basketball. Wow. Okay.
That's another show we could do.
I ran into Bobby Knight, met him for the first time in Philadelphia during the 1976 All-Star Game. And he was, one of the stars that came down and spent some time, during that period with us. And it was a pleasure to meet him. Boy, he must have been a handful.
Did he throw a chair at you at any point ever, Barry?
No, but everyone thinks that's what they know him by. But they don't understand how kind he was that day. Do you realize that there was a lady who had her seat taken that was in the front row and she couldn't find a seat? So he was so nice and kind and obliging, he tossed her a chair so she could sit. You guys believe that one?
That's why I'm laughing.
I know. Well, that's a story we tell.
Yeah,
And I'll stick to it.
Yeah, well, story.
I'll tell you what, he was the most intimidating human being ever. But after I got out of Indiana, spent the year with him, we became very, very close friends, and he was a wonderful, wonderful man.
I'm sure he was.
Great impact on your life, in the life lessons you get taught, not just the sports lessons.
Yes, he was wonderful. Course. Yeah, that's why I think sports being integrated into a young person at an early age is so beneficial, because there's a practical experience that goes on that you don't have unless you do it. And I just would have hated to have missed a free throw if I was playing for him down the stretch. I would not have wanted to look him in the face coming back to the bench explaining how I just chucked that one.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know,
it's funny. I have a real quick story. I saw him at when he was at Texas Tech. I went to a game, and it happened to be one of his last game, and I didn't know at the time, but he said, Barry, he says, boy, the kids are changing. I said, yeah, coach, they are. He says, you remember when you were, my grad assistant? Says, the kids cared, if they, like tonight, the kids, they're going to worry about if they can get a date or maybe get a fake ID to get a beer tonight. They're not going to worry about if they ever lose this game, but the kids back when you were with us, they cared. I said, coach, we lost one game in 2 years. I'm sure that night they did, that evening they did care. We were pretty good. 74, 75, 16. Oh, we went 31-1 and then 32-0.
Yeah. So yeah. Well, that team that, he had a monster team that 1 year, has laid claim to being possibly the greatest college basketball team of all time. But
pretty good one.
Yeah, sure was. Yeah. But you'd probably have some competition coming from UCLA and some other ones.
North Carolina, too.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting.
They're actually the last undefeated college team.
Well,
the 1976. That's hard to believe, too. It's almost 50 years.
Since we're talking about that, college basketball obviously now has changed. It's, you bring in these kids for 1 year, and it's pretty hard to have, people, blend and mix together and have the opportunity to be, that finished product after 4 years. UCLA was able to do that. That's why I think they won like 8 straight national championships or something, because not only did they have the greatest coach possibly, but they had great players that stayed together for a while.
Yeah, for 8 years, they only had 2 sets of players probably. You know what I mean?
It's very hard to, duplicate what was done. Nor does anybody really care much about doing that. Everybody's, it's in the moment. Now, what do you think of the nils and things that are happening in college sports?
Oh, it's amazing. How do you recruit knowing that in a year your better players may leave or may enter the portal, or may, you know what I mean? So right. I've talked to college coaches. It's virtually impossible.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them, they, you know, dealing with the kids isn't as hard as dealing with the parents.
Oh, yeah, that's another story.
That's another story.
Yeah.
So anyways, from Indiana, I got a job with the Pittsburgh Pirates. I started in the minor leagues with the Pirates and worked my way up. And then spent 3 years with the Yankees. Got a job. It was funny. The Pirates offered me a job, and last year I was in AAA in Columbus, Ohio. And the Columbus team was moving to Portland, and the owner of the Columbus team, George Sisler Jr., said, love to have you stay. The Yankees are going to move in here. It says, we're going to raise your salary from $5,600 a year to $9,000 a year. Wow. I was going to make $9,000 a year. You know,
uh-huh.
I mean, that's, I was like,
in heaven.
I was thinking of Rolls Royce or Mercedes. I wasn't sure which. No, but, you know, so I took a job, and before I took the job with Columbus, I got a call from Al Rosen from the Yankees. Said our assistant trainer, Herm Schneider, just taken the head trainer's job for the White Sox. We want to know if you'd be interested in coming to New York as the assistant trainer, or would you rather stay in Columbus? I said, let me think about it.
Yeah, how fast can I get there?
Yeah.
Yeah, for
sure.
So
that, you know, listen, then your first year in the major leagues, you're at the New York Yankees. And, you know, you were at the Los Angeles Dodgers. There's no more celebrated or honored, cherished team than those two.
Yeah.
No, really.
Yeah, it's tough to get past that one. Okay, we're going to be right back after this break with Barry Weinberg.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Hello, Ron Save. And we are back. We'll see about that with our special guest, Barry Weinberg. And Barry, you mentioned starting out, you were in Columbus. I ventured that way one time. They were AAA Yankees at that time, I believe. We had some kind of a special event back there. But you mentioned George Sisler Jr. Is that part of the Sisler family that's legendary in baseball?
Yes, his dad. Yeah, his dad was, you know, the Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Wonderful man. He's a terrific owner of that team, wonderful man. And probably one of the great influences that I had in my young career that you know, recommended me and started me not only through the years in Columbus, but then the recommendation to the Yankees. So, you know, it's like I tell young kids, you have no idea where your journey's going to lead you, you know, and you do your best and you try your best and you work hard for everybody. And you never know who's going to be watching you. You never know who's going to impact your life. You know, Ron, especially when I was growing up, I grew up in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Okay.
The Washington Senators was my favorite team.
All right.
Gentleman moved across the street from me named Frank Howard.
Uh-huh. I was going to say Frank
Hondo
Howard.
Was next to my father. Frank Howard was the greatest influence and mentor to me, you know, both professionally and personally than any person other than my father. And I know you know him.
I
you
do.
Know?
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a personality plus, always fun to be around, always has a story to tell.
Yeah, he was great. So anyway, so, you know, and you grow up, you know, learning things, another's life lessons from your idol. You know, I'm 16 years old. I get to drive him to the ballpark and back, you know, and I go sit in the dugout and watch batting practice. I'm 17 years old and they're playing. If I can go off and tell a quick story about Hondo. So he leaves me in the dugout and I'm sitting watching batting practice. They're playing the Milwaukee Brewers. Okay, Dave Bristol, the manager of the Brewers. He was the youngest manager in baseball. Now, the manager of the Senators that time was Ted Williams.
Uh-huh.
He comes and sits down next to me, watching Milwaukee take batting practice. You know, and I'm not saying a word. They had a pitcher named Casey Cox. Casey Cox walks next to him, and he says, "Hey, Skipper," he says, "their manager throws batting practice. How come you don't throw batting practice?" Ted Williams says, "When I was 38 years old, I hit .388. End of conversation.
Yeah. But, yeah. I mean, you but know, anyway, that's, come that's, on, that's, it's Ted Williams. I mean, Jesus, you know, yeah, there, he was just too good. And, you know, he spent 4 years in the service and he comes back after
that?
He wouldn't had like he never missed a day, you know, unbelievable contribution to baseball and in our country.
Yeah. You know, so, you know, I tell kids that you never know where your journey is going to lead you. You know, I had no idea I'd walk into a Yankee locker room. I had no idea I'd have dinner with Sandy Koufax. Never had no idea, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Got to work with Albert Pujols, Mark McGwire, see a home run.
Yeah.
These are things that that's not going to happen to me. But, you know, I'm a little Jewish kid from Silver Spring, Maryland. You know, how did you know?
Yeah.
But I tell these kids, you fall. Not follow dreams, you chase your dreams, you know. You don't follow it. Don't stand behind. Just chase it.
No, you get on and you get after it. You know, I had a similar thing, you know, with growing up, you know, my favorite player was Willie Mays. And, you know, little did I know that later on, you know, I was going to be playing against him. And what a thrill. You know, you talk about some of the grinds that you have to make. You know, what was there ever a time that you felt like, you know, I've kind of had it. I got to find something else to do or things got to get work better. So tell us a little about the bumps that you encountered along the way.
Well, you know, it's great. I think everyone has this thing that they, oh, my God, you're in professional baseball. What a life. What a glamour. Not as glamour as people think it is. You know, the long bus trips, especially in the minor leagues. We used to go from Shreveport to El Paso, 19 hours on a bus.
Yeah.
You know, you could get drunk, sober, and drunk on the same bus trip.
You know? Yeah.
But
that's
you know,
true.
And then you know, like, you know, especially I was in Oakland and you were in LA. It's a terrible travel because traveling east is just awful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's 9 hours to get to the coast because it's 6 hour flight, 3 hours difference.
Right.
You're getting in it all hours of the morning. You get, you know, so it's not as glamorous as people think, but yet in, you know, my godkids, Eddie and Michael Foley, they came visit me in spring training once, and I get up at 5 a.m, get to work at spring training, and I took them with me, and I said, boys, I said, not as glamorous as you thought it'd be. One of them looks at me and says, Uncle Barry, we're going to a ballpark. We're going to spend all day on a baseball field. Is there anything better in life? I said, wow.
Yeah, that's the way
and
my kids felt,
too. And that was for 14-year-olds, like, yeah. Wow. Because every now and then you have to, you know, put in perspective of what you do and where you are and how special the thing is. I think I have a couple of things. One, sometimes we can't see the picture because we're within the frame.
Yeah.
We don't understand the magnitude of our jobs and how special it is. Because if someone asks you, Ron, did you have a special career? No, you just did what you did. It wasn't special to you while you're going through it. Same way. It wasn't special. I just had a job. I had a responsibility. And I, you know, you just did it every day, you know, but then I also say that if I put all my problems or bad days in a basket with everyone else's, I'd be very quick to take mine back.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it is a grind and,
a complete grind, you know,
and people don't understand much at
travel
all.
Travel and
yeah. Yeah.
It's, and especially like, you know, as a trainer, you know, if you had to go to the doctor, I'd stay with you at the doctor's. I'd go or get up in the morning, you know, take it, you know. So it wasn't just a 9-to-5 job. People, and also, like you said, once you started spring training in February, the ones you ended hopefully late in October, you couldn't do anything in life, and you know, besides work. You had 182 games or 162 games and 20 more in spring training, 30 more in spring training, you know. That was your life. You were married to your job,
yeah.
And that was the tough part. That was the grind. And then I've been on bad teams. I'm sure you snuck on a bad team or two.
Yes.
That grind comes August. Now it becomes a real grind.
Yeah,
right?
You don't have a lot of friends that you want to hang around with in August.
You talked about that last week, about how being on a really bad team vis-a-vis you know, what the White Sox are doing right now.
Oh,
every
God.
Day.
You know, it's funny because Tony La Russa and I stay in touch all the time, and he still works for Jerry Reinsdorf, you know, as an advisor.
Uh-huh.
And I always call him and said, Tony, I said, how you feeling? How you doing? He goes, have you looked at those score at standings yet? I said, yeah, sorry. You know, and you know, Tony, because, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, have you looked at it? Yeah. Can you imagine, Ron, can you imagine being 60 games under 500 now?
No.
yeah. And you talk about a grind. I can't even imagine that grind.
No, I mean, there's lucky there's not clubhouse fights every day. And I just I understand that they just got rid of their manager.
I saw that today.
So they have to make some change. Otherwise, there's probably blood all over that place. Really unfortunate to have to see a team struggle like that. You talk about Tony La Russa. You know, you pretty much had a career with Tony La Russa. You had him in
24
Oakland.
Years on the bench.
Yeah,
out of 33 in the big leagues. Yeah,
you had him in Oakland.
I got 33 years in the big leagues, 24 with Tony. It's pretty special. You know, if you ask a lot of trainers how many managers you have in your career, well, I had 5 in the last 16 years, and I had, you know, I had 6, and you know, some guys were lucky to have 3 or 4. I had one guy for 24 years, which is, you know, which is pretty special. I also had 5 when I was at the Yankees for 3 years. So that, you know.
Well, there's a lot of security that goes along with that. I felt the same way about my time with the Dodgers. You know, I had two Hall of Fame managers to play with, and, you know, we had pretty much, you know, a family there. And but your time with Tony, I mean, you were experienced 3 different world championships, 2 with the Cardinals, 1 with Oakland.
Yeah.
You got to participate and be a part of 4 different All-Star games. So you got to see quite a bit. That had to be a big thrill to be able to be rewarded in that way for your work.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because we got along great. He trusted me. The first spring training, he said, Barry, he says, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. He says, you know, he says, the doctors here tell me how great you are, and you are. You do a great job as a trainer. He says, but I need to tell you, you pay too much attention to women and golf. He said, you got to start concentrating a little bit more about the training. When I come to training, that's all you're talking about. Okay. About 3 months later, he calls me in his office. He says, Barry, would you get a date and go play golf one day? You're the most boring human being I've ever run into.
Well, you know.
No, you have to balance things, yeah. But he was wonderful to work with, but tough. And I think that when you get to know someone well, it's easy to work. No, it's not as easy as you think, because you want to do so well for them that, man, you're so nervous that you would mess up. Or the thing I was always afraid of, someone said, what were you afraid of? Or what were you nervous? That he would ask a question I couldn't answer. Or a guy had an injury that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't knowledgeable about, you know, uh-huh. So you had to study and you always had to be prepared,
yeah.
You know, and that's the great part of what he did as a manager was prepare his teams and put everybody in the best position to succeed.
And I agree 100% with that. I thought he was one of the most well-organized managers that I'd ever come across. And every day, you know, he had things in place and had meetings to make sure that everybody knew what was going on. And, you know, in your case, you know, you're on call 24 hours a day for the whole season. You know, you have no life, as you said, and it's extremely difficult. And I do want to get into some of the more other responsibilities that you had during the course of spring training and the season and the players, some of the players that you had involved with, and get a fix on that. But we're going to take a quick break and come back with our special guest, Barry Weinberg, right after this message.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
Nope.
Okay, Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right, Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay, no worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
The new John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV.
Guess what, people? Wendy's has new saucy nugs. You heard me. Wendy's nugs now come in 7 saucy flavors. Buffalo, honey barbecue, garlic parm, spicy ghost pepper. You can literally hear your taste buds after every bite. I'm serious. Listen to mine. Okay, that's just me playing with sound effects, but you get the idea. For a whole new way to nug, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Power comes in many forms. The beloved power nap. The enviable power couple. The celebrated power hitter. But around here, Kohl's Cash is power. And if you earned it recently, it's time for your power trip to Kohl's. Will you redeem your Kohl's Cash on those Adidas sneakers you've been eyeing? Will you flex at the block party with that new ice cream maker? Will you replace your kids' favorite shorts because they outgrew them again? However you redeem your Kohl's Cash before it expires, more power to you. Not valid on Sephora at Kohl's. Additional exclusions may apply.
The fans are rooting for
and welcome back. We'll see about that. This week in Dodger history, presented by BFF Financial. 1975 at Shea Stadium, the aforementioned Davey Lopes steals his 32nd consecutive base without being caught, breaking Max Carey's 1922 record in a Dodgers 2-0 victory over the New York Mets. In 1989, however, Vince Coleman would break that Dodger second baseman mark.
And Davey Lopes, one of my favorite teammates, table setter, a great base stealer, followed the Dodgers' footsteps of Maury Wills to become a guy that equally deserved all the attention that he got, a member of the longest-running and most successful infield in Major League history. So congratulations to Davey, and he's back in Rhode Island. And I hope he's doing well. Barry, I wanted to talk a little bit. I do want to get to the characters in your clubhouses. I want you to talk and tell some stories about those guys. But first, I want to get to your book, Eating My Way Through Baseball. I'm going to let you tell the story, but that has different connotations to me. So tell me which ones I'm supposed to understand here.
Well, the funny part is that it came to be, I used to watch a TV show called The Practice, and one of my buddies, it was Mike Saunders, the trainer for the Knicks, calls me one day right in the middle of the show. And I said, Mike, I can't talk to you. He says, why? Mike trained for the Knicks for 30 years. I said, Mike, I can't talk to you. Why? He said, watch your favorite show. The Practice. So he says, when you go out to L.A., you got to see Mike Badalucco. I said, do you know Jimmy Berluti, who is on the show? He played a little lawyer on the show. So I said, yeah. I said, I can't call him. I said, I'm Edison Harrelson from Silver Spring. He's a TV star. So anyways, we're out playing the Dodgers a couple weeks later, and I get a call from the 323 number, and it's Mike Badalucco. He says, Mike Saunders told me to call you, and, I'd love to come out to the game. And anyways, came out to the game, came early, watched back, became friends. Every time I was in New York or L.A. when he was in, either we'd have dinner. And a lot of times we had dinner with the writer of the show, Jonathan Shapiro, who wrote for Boston Legal, The Blacklist, Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton now.
Yes.
Big writer. And we'd sit around with McGuire and myself and La Russa and tell stories. And he goes, Barry, he says, you got to write these stories down. I said, no one's going to, So the next year we would have dinner. Barry, did you write those stories down yet? I said, no. He says, I didn't think you would. He says, here's a lady's name. You just call her. You don't even have to write them down. She'll transcribe all the stories. And that's how the story started. I said, eating my way through baseball. So I said, it's stories at dinner. Unless you've been at the dinner table, in the dugout or in the locker room, you wouldn't know these stories. They're not negative stories. I've tried to bring out, the positive things and the fun things that happen, because there are a lot of it. And so I broke it down at the end of each chapter. There's a pictures and there's a endorsements from a slew of people. And at the end of each chapter is three restaurants I eat at. At the end of the book, I have every city in baseball, the 30 cities in baseball, and about 8 or 9 restaurants from every city. So there's about 300 restaurants at the end of the book.
So was your favorite restaurant in St. Louis?
Yeah. And also, what was, what city had the best restaurants? What city had the worst restaurants?
You know what? There's two great moments in sports. There's two great 20 minutes in sports. Okay. Ron, you'll appreciate it because you've been in both. All right. One's in Chicago. You play the Cubs. You have to beat them. It's on Friday. You always play day games on Friday. So it's a 20-minute ride after the game. It's a 20-minute ride from Wrigley back to your hotel. The only thing you need to worry about, the only thing you have to decide is what great restaurant you're going to eat at. And the next is a Saturday in Boston, because you play day games in Boston. It's a 20-minute walk from Fenway back to the hotel, and the only thing you have to decide is what great restaurant you're going to eat at. Ron Darling, we used to sit down and before the season said, all right, we have off days here, we have a day game here, we have a day game, we can plan a big league meal. And that, it was so important. And Ron, to go out with the fellas to a big league meal, no matter what city you're in. Right. It was really special. That's when you get to know people. We really talk, and you talk a lot of baseball and a lot of, you know, just life, and you know, you learn about guys, and we all, you know, I have an old expression, we all came from a different ship, but we're in the same boat.
Well, you know? I'm glad you had an opportunity to do that, because those opportunities don't come around very often, and I'm glad you made the most of it. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks. So that's how the book came to be, and that's, you know, it's
I want to talk a little bit about some of the personalities. you know, you had a Yankee clubhouse that was in turmoil. You know, the Oakland A's before you got there was, you know, chaotic. You right. got to see Jackson, and you got to see Canseco and Gossage and Ricky Henderson.
Ricky very Henderson. Well, those people.
Ricky.
But then, you know, you mentioned guys like Ricky Henderson. Ricky Henderson was probably, you know, as Tony put it, as disruptive and not in a negative way in a baseball game. He could disrupt the baseball game as, you know, like no one else. Because he could hit a homer, you know, he could steal a base, he could hit a homer. He could make a great play in the outfield. He was special. But I always say, and in fact, I was with Tony last week. We had our 20-year reunion of our 2004 World Series team. And the most talented player I ever worked on was Jose Canseco. The most talented. I had players that might have been better players, but no one more talented. But, you know,
Albert. When I came to Oakland in 87, Jose right. was there, and along with McGuire and Reggie, and right. Luis Pujols. Won't talk too much about Luis, but Luis, the smallest guy on the team, most likely, was racing the biggest guy on the team, Canseco, and they're pretty much a draw. And besides that, Canseco could hit the ball further than anybody else there, besides possibly McGuire. And it was kind of embarrassing to take batting practice after these guys, because these guys were launching balls, you know, out of the state, and they're hitting balls out of the White Sox state, and they're hitting balls on the roof in Detroit. that was unbelievable, the display that they put on.
You know, that's where I got to meet George Bush. 43, when he was the owner of the Texas team,
right?
He couldn't wait till we got to. He loved to watch batting practice.
Uh huh.
The people, you know, you had Canseco, and then you had, you know, McGuire, and you had Lansford, and you had Don Baylor at one point, and Dave Parker, and you know,
yes, yes,
you know what I mean.
Yes.
They loved to watch, and Ron Fay, but they loved to watch. You know, they were enamored by it. You're right. It was an event watching them take batting practice.
Oh, no question about it. Remember.
You tell people too. The ball sounded different.
And it went. You know, I don't know what the spin rate on that one was.
I don't know. I don't know if they had it back then.
About 400. I
those
swear
guys
to God,
didn't care about spin rate.
Neither did they. You know, what was the spin rate on that ball that Canseco just hit over the roof?
I mean, Jose would come in angry one day after hitting a home run. I said, "What's the matter?" I said, "You just hit a ball 450 feet." He says, "I should have hit that ball 600 feet. That's gone. I said, "Jose, you only get one.
I know.
You know, they don't count. They don't count more for hitting it longer."
Yeah.
But that's how he thought. Yeah. You know. He had a mentality.
Well, you know, he really was a five-tool guy. It was amazing to see the how much further he could hit a ball for the most part.
And as someone who's like a kid watching that team, that was
he's 23 years old.
Yeah, but for me as a kid watching that team for the first time, I've never seen baseball played like that. I've never seen baseball where you have a lineup, you know, with McGuire, Canseco, and Dave Parker, because he can hit it too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, look, in Oakland, you know, there's the big high pavilion in left field, right? And then where that scoreboard was, it was kind of in a grassy knoll up there, right? And there was a cement walkway, right?
Because it was open. The outfield was open that time. You didn't see Mount Davis when they
So one day we came in after batting practice, and Jose says, "You know, he says one day I'm going to hit that ball up there on the grass, right?" And I'm saying, sure you are, sure. That's, yeah, that's delusions of grandeur. And it must have been a day or two right after that where he hits the wall that contains the grass leading to the scoreboard. And I said, my God, I said, he's not off my much. He just might do it.
Well, you got to set goals and attain goals. And I think he did the same thing with Madonna when he dated her.
Well, he's had a checkered past. I mean, he was driving sports cars fast and dating
you
women
know,
that
he,
were.
He was the first rock star. He was really the first. A real rock star of that era, you know.
And he got himself in a lot of heat and attention, didn't he? He pretty much blackballed himself, which was unfortunate. But you know, the bottom line is that he pretty much was true to form.
Yeah, I was just about to say, like, you know, he said a lot of things that people thought were crazy, but they turned out to be true.
Yeah. Unfortunate in many, many aspects. So where did you have the most fun, and what is your favorite moment? If you have,
well, you know, it's great because I was just three great teams. I was with the Oakland A's, the St. Louis Cardinals, and the New York Yankees. Right, New York is New York, and I was too young and naive. I don't think I appreciated it as much. You know what I mean? I was just it was a whirlwind for you.
You're in the moment.
It gets there fast. You know, New York comes fast at you. You know, then I got to Oakland, and we had some great players, and we had some great teams. Went to three straight World Series. Yeah. Going to your first World Series is very special.
Yes, you know, it is.
That was my first one was in New York. I went against the Dodgers in '81. Mm-hmm. I think you know someone on that team, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I know.
It still hurts.
You know, that was special, folks. Your first winning one was '89 with the A's.
Right.
You know, and we lost to the Dodgers in '88. Right. Were you at the Dodgers in '88 too?
No, I was not. I was 1 year retired. Okay. Yep.
Okay. So we lost to them again.
Mm-hmm.
So winning your first, going to World Series is unbelievable. And I've always said this. People say, we know that going to World or winning a World Series is your greatest thrill. I said, yeah, it was. I said, what is your second greatest thrill next to that? You know what it is? Losing the World Series.
People don't understand
how hard it is to get to the World Series.
Yeah.
Right, Ron? You know what I mean?
Well, and of all the sports, I think baseball is the most difficult to repeat. Because if you're playing football, you got a quarterback who's going to play every game, every down, right? Basketball, you get down to the nitty-gritty and you're going to get
Michael,
the ball
you're going to repeat.
Right. And in baseball, if you don't have your number one starter, number two starter out there, there's other things that might lead into that. You're not going in there quite the same way. But an incredible experience. Barry, we're winding down. I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on We'll See About That. You had a brilliant career. You had also two things that I do want to mention. Multiple times you were the Major League Baseball Athletic Trainer of the Year, and you were also inducted into the National Athletic Trainers Association Hall of Fame, which is the NATA. So congratulations with all of that. I wish you well. Keep the book going. I'm interested in more stories over dinner, and hope you're going to have a great time with that.
I need 30 seconds. I got one Ron Say story. You ready?
Sir. Go ahead.
Gary LaRocque, who's the director of player development, he tells his story. He says when he was with the Dodgers, he was listening to a meeting, and they said, you know, we've had the same infield for a while, you know, and we're not sure, you know, Say is coming down, you know, and he's losing a step, he's getting a little bit older, and you know, his arm's not as good as it used to be. He says one of the scouts says, what kind of third baseman is he going to be for? And Tommy Lasorda stood up and goes, I'll tell you what kind of third baseman he's going to be for us. He's going to hit 30 home runs for us. That's what kind of third baseman he's going to be.
Yeah, well, Ty had a good person to stand up for me in Tom Lasorda. Yeah, he was big for me back then. All right, Barry, thank you so much.
Yeah, Ron, thank you so much. I
really enjoyed our
it.
Conversation, Barry. Be well. And we'll be right back after this message.
Look. Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Hey, Ron. How you doing?
Okay. I just want to thank Barry Weinberg again for a terrific interview, conversation, whatever you have it. Great to touch base with him again after many, many years, and certainly hope him well with his future endeavors.
And make sure to check out his book, too, Eating My Way Through Baseball, available wherever fine books are sold. And speaking of books, Ron.
Yes, I want to remind you that Penguin Power, my book, is available over on my website, The Ron Say Show. Please check that out. There's multiple signing options with that. Plus, we also have a menu and a list of all our podcasts and guests and future podcast guests as well. So please see who we might have online for you to come and visit us again. And don't forget the Instagram, the official Ron Say. And so anyway, we're going to come back next week with pretty much the round table. We're going to have a discussion about what went on in the Olympics, and that's we're going to try to cover as much of that as we can, and we're going to give you an update about Major League Baseball and where we think it is at this point in the season. So we're looking forward to maybe a preview of what might happen here in October. So
yeah, we're in the home stretch of the season. We're in the backside, the back nine, you might say. So yeah, a lot of interesting storylines. A lot of the Manny Machado's really kind of coming, having a great season so far.
You know, the pennant race is getting real close now, guys. Yeah. Diamondbacks and the San Diego Padres are sneaking up on your Dodgers.
And the Yankees are looking pretty good, too. Aaron Judge. The first Yankee intentionally walked three times in one game since Bernie Williams in 2002.
Wow. Okay. That reminds me of Barry Bonds.
Yeah.
The year that he walked 230 some times.
Oh, yeah. He had like a 1.55 war or something.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, unbelievable.
Would that bother you, though? Would not getting the opportunity to, you know, smack soccer?
Respect. That's what it is.
It's respect,
Andy Messersmith told me that one time when I was hot in my best month ever, April of 1977, I got walked with two outs, a runner at third in the first inning.
Wow.
Intentionally walked. And he looks at me and says, "That's what I call respect." Anyway, we're going to have a great show coming up for you next week. We certainly hope that you're enjoying, once again, the Olympics. Got a lot of things there. Really exciting. Great, great effort by the U.S. No question about it. Maybe their best Olympics ever. And we'll be seeing you next week. Please join us. And thanks for joining us.